The 70 Weeks of Daniel. Part 2. This message is the second of a two-part message, written by Brother Amos in June 2018, and it is a clear and concise breakdown of all the things we are to expect in the last remaining week left for the Jews. We thank God for His continued light at this evening time, and we pray for more grace to understand. God bless you all. We will simply continue our message, titled The 70 Weeks of Daniel. In the last segment of this message, we stopped with Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, and that is precisely where we want to continue today. Please open with me to Daniel chapter 9, where verse 27 records, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week." Just as the chief apostle often warned, we must realize that it is not the Antichrist that makes a pact to have a duration of 1 week. It is God that makes it 1 week, because the Antichrist will make the pact, intending it to last forever. In other words, the covenant will not be made to last for 1 week. It is God that determines that it will be for only 1 week of time, which is the last week, the 70th week, as this is what gives the children of Israel their balance of time, thus completing the 70 weeks of prophetic time, which angel Gabriel gave to them in verse 24. This is where we see the last week period, which is the third and final week period. This is precisely where the last week period is laid out in the entire chapter. Do not forget that the 70 weeks have been broken down into 3 week periods, namely 7 weeks, 62 weeks, and 1 week, making a total of 70 weeks of prophetic time, which gives us precisely 490 years. Up to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ in 33 AD, the children of Israel have utilized to that point a total of 483 years, which equals 69 weeks, having expended the first 2 week periods, leaving them with a balance of exactly 7 years, which is 1 week, a full week left. Consequently, it is in verse 27 where the last week, the 70th week, is laid out. But because it is a week that is given for the manifestation of the little horn of Daniel chapter 7, verses 8, 24, and 25, the little prince of Rome, who is the coming Antichrist, the Pope of that hour, is precisely the reason that verse 27 provides, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and the determined shall be poured upon the desolate." This prophecy shows undoubtedly that the Antichrist will break this covenant or pact right in the middle of the last week. Nonetheless, this is what gives the nation of Israel its final week, and it is strictly a week of 7 years, the final 7 years, or the final week, one that completes the 70 weeks of prophetic time allotted to the nation of Israel. Therefore, we must note that it is not 3.5 years that Israel has left, but a whole 7 years. And it is right here in verse 27 that the 1 week balance of prophetic time is laid out for us by the angel as he dealt with prophet Daniel. Moreover, when we consider the details of all the prophetic events, the things that are to take place within that final week period, it is absolutely impossible to cram them into 3.5 years, for it simply will not work, scripturally speaking, being an impossibility. Yes, God can do anything and everything, but the events which God has prophesied to be fulfilled in many respects will be fulfilled by men, and not by God, giving us events or things that are both positive and negative, including things that the man of sin, the Antichrist, will do, along with the kings of the East, and quite apart from the promised ministries of Moses and Elijah, ushering in the revival of Israel, amongst many other issues, all things that cannot be accomplished in 3.5 years, for it is just that impossible. Furthermore, by the written prophetic word of God, which is absolutely infallible, immutable, unchanging, and inerrable, for it cannot err, the specific time allotted to the various prophetic events which the nation of Israel will face come to a total of 7 years, and as such, it cannot be scaled down to 3.5 years, for it will not work, period. In addition, And please take note, right up to verse 26, the breakdown of the 70 weeks by the angel Gabriel gave the children of Israel 69 weeks, and not 69.5 weeks, but exactly 69 weeks, to the death of the Messiah the Prince, leaving them with a balance of 1 week, just as verse 26 states, and after 62 weeks, which brings the total time utilized thus far to 69 weeks, in view of the first week period of 7 years, having first been utilized. This brings time to a total of 69 weeks, at the expiration of which shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince of Rome, that shall come shall destroy their city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. So, where are you going to put the 70th week, if you make the expired period 69.5 weeks? Because up to verse 26, Israel has only utilized 69 weeks. Up to that point, Israel has only used up 69 full weeks, which is 483 years. Consequently, brothers and sisters, you must see that the 1 week we have in verse 27, which is now tied to the reign of the Antichrist, is exactly what gives us the balance of 1 week, the last week of 7 full years of 360 days each, thus completing the 70 weeks of prophetic time allotted to the Jews. Now listen to what the prophet to this age said about it, in his message titled, The 70th Week of Daniel, paragraphs 165 to 166, and in the middle of this week. Now, here is the 70, meaning, here is the 70th week. Now, if these exactly were 7 years, each one of the weeks was made up of 7 years each, and we've already had 69 weeks, then we have the Gentile age, which was grafted in, and we know we're at the end of the Gentile age. Then there is one more week left for the Jew. Is that right? Congregation says, Amen. And that's exactly 7 years. If this were 7 years, each, that is 7 years, cause he said, there is 70 weeks determined upon that people. So we know we got 7 years for the Jews. Is that true? Amen. Now look at it. If there is a question, I want to know it. See. Now, and in the middle of the week, the middle of his Jewish week, see, that's 3.5 years. The Antichrist, the prince, a prince that is to come, will break the covenant. And remember, he comes out of Rome, the prince that is to come. What is he? A pope, a prince amongst the people, that is to come. There will rise up a Pharaoh who doesn't know Joseph. Then in paragraph 168, he reiterated this truth, and he makes a covenant with them. In the midst of the 70th week, the Antichrist breaks his covenant with the Jew, just as verse 27 states. How much plainer can he speak? Then in paragraph 192, Brother Branham even backed his projection with a prophetic seal, declaring, I wish you'd listen quietly now just for a minute. The moment he starts the 70th week, or 7 years, the church is gone. Now listen, I'm quoting again, re-quoting, so you won't forget. This is what the Holy Spirit put upon my pen while I was writing. So, you can all see from these quotes, that the prophet thought that Israel has 1 full week of 7 years left. The chief apostle to this age also talked about this aspect of the last week of time, in his message titled, The 70 Weeks. And speaking specifically about the covenant which the Antichrist will make with many for 1 week, Brother Jackson said on page 3, let me say also, this covenant in verse 27 has nothing whatsoever to do with God's plan of salvation he gave through the Lord Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with that. It is not a covenant of salvation, no matter how the Catholic Church may interpret it, or how the Seventh-day Adventists interpret it. They have it all mixed up. That is why they will say Jesus was cut off in the middle of the week. He was not cut off in the middle of the week. He was cut off precisely at the end of 483 years from the time the 70 weeks went into effect. This proves that Israel has a balance of 1 full week left, in the middle of which the Antichrist will break his pact with the nation of Israel. That is precisely why, in his message dated May 1980, and titled, No Man Knoweth the Day and Hour, under the subtitle, Daniel's 70th Week. Brother Jackson now plainly declared, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3 verses 16 to 17. Therefore, we understand that it is important for the grace-age bride of Christ to know whether there is still one full week of Daniel's 70 weeks to be fulfilled, or whether there is only one half of that last week left. We have proved by the scriptures, over and over again, that there is still one full week left to be fulfilled, but there are yet many people who will hold to the idea that Jesus was crucified in the middle of Daniel's 70th week. Brothers and sisters, anyone who would take the time to study Revelation 11 verses 3 to 13, 12 verse 16, 13 verses 1 to 8, and Daniel 9 verses 24 to 27, should be able to understand that God's two witnesses cannot prophesy to the nation of Israel for 3.5 years. Revelation 11 verse 3. If that nation, the woman, Revelation 12 verse 6, is fleeing into a hiding place that God has prepared for to hide her from the Antichrist for 3.5 years, if it is the same 3.5 year period, that is an absolute fact, one that cannot be contested, as it will not make sense stating anything to the contrary. Saints of God, before we consider the covenant in itself, the covenant laid out in Daniel 9 verse 27, one which the Antichrist will make with the nation of Israel, following which we will go into the breakdown of the last week of time, the 70th week, we first want to take a close look at the maker of this covenant himself, the He. Verse 27, as it is written, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. The material question is, who is he? Who is this man? As I said in the last part of this message, the He takes us back to verse 26, because verse 27 only continues the thought which began in verse 26, about the prince that shall come, the little prince, shall destroy thy city and the sanctuary of God in Jerusalem. Who was General Titus, a prince of Rome, who destroyed the city and the temple in 70 AD. Consequently, the He, in verse 27, which gives us the covenant maker, gives us another prince of Rome. It gives us another little prince, one who will set the last week in motion by his covenant or pact. This is inarguably so, because there is about 2,000 years in between the two events and in between the two princes, and as such, no one man can fulfill both verses of scripture. This absolutely gives us two men, two personages of Rome, and hence, it gives us a dual application of he, and a dual application of prince, because we are looking at two terms, which are tied to two different personages of Rome, and hence, have application to two princes of Rome, General Titus, and the Antichrist. This is a settled, scriptural fact. Therefore, and without any iota of doubt, verse 27 gives us the coming Antichrist, who is another little prince of Rome. And as to the identity of this end-time Roman prince, you are looking at none other than the Pope of Rome of that hour of time, the Bishop of Rome, the pontiff of the Roman Catholic Church organization, based in the Vatican, whoever he may be in that day, for he is the little horn of Daniel chapter 7. However, in order to lay out this truth and do justice to it, please come with me as we go back in time, because we must first scripturally identify this man, this little prince of Rome, the He, of Daniel 9 verse 27, before we delve into the 70th week of time, because he is the key personality projected in this prophecy, which relates to the last week of Daniel. Brothers and sisters, in Daniel chapter 7, verses 1 to 6, we see the first three Gentile world beast empires, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Medes and Persia, and Greater Greece, represented in prophecy by various animals, the lion, the bear, and the leopard, respectively. Beginning from verses 1, the Bible provides, in the first year of Belshazzar king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream, and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and, Behold, the four winds of the heavens throw off upon the great sea, the Mediterranean Sea, around which the old world revolved, and from which the four beast empires evolved, and four great beasts came out from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion, the Babylonian Empire, and had eagle's wings, making the empire swift, very powerful, and most successful. I beheld till the winds thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it, degenerating into a pleasure-loving candle, and base empire. Verse 5. And behold another beast, a second, like to a bear, the Medo-Persian Empire, the empire of Medes and Persia, and it raised up itself on one side, showing us that Persia will be the dominant kingdom of the Medo-Persian Empire. And Daniel chapter 8, verses 3 and 20, vindicate this truth, giving us a second witness, by the use of a second imagery, a different imagery, which is that of two horns, with one horn being high, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it, and they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. Brothers and sisters, the three ribs represent three great nations conquered by the Medo-Persian Empire. Lydia, which is Asia Minor, present-day Turkey, conquered in 546 BC. Babylon, conquered in 539 BC. And Egypt, conquered in 525 BC. May I remind you that in Genesis 2 verses 21 to 22, from a rib that was taken from Adam, God made another person, a woman, Eve. Consequently, in this prophecy, you must see that the three ribs in the mouth of this beast empire represents nothing but three nations, and this should be clear to everyone. I know that in the contender dated February 1991, and titled The Woman of Mystery, Part 2, under the subtitle Transition of Daniel's Beasts, Brother Jackson stated, The Babylonian Empire ran its course, then another beast took its place. We will take a look at that beast now. Daniel 7 verse 5, And behold another beast, a second, like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in its mouth between the teeth of it. These three ribs are speaking specifically of the three great kings that lifted it to its greatest power in that which is related to Jews and prophecy. And they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. However, brothers and sisters, we must realize the very fact that there are three ribs inside its mouth, and not three great teeth, which would have been part of the makeup of the beast, but three ribs in its mouth, cannot give you three leaders or kings. It can only give you something that has been conquered, which is precisely why the ribs are in its mouth. That is why that beast was told to devour much flesh. For as it is written, they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh, which speaks strictly of conquest, because the Medo-Persian conquest of these three nations, these three ribs, only help to whet and motivate the appetite of that beast empire for conquest. It is prophetic symbolism, and what is in your mouth is what you devour, and not what rules you, except you are speaking in terms of words being in the mouth. But these are not three words, but three ribs between the teeth of it. That cannot give you leadership, but conquest, which is precisely why that verse says that they, who were the three ribs, gave that beast empire the incentive for more conquest, saying, Arise, devour much flesh, which is to conquer more nations. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we cannot relate the three ribs to Cyrus, Artaxerxes, and Darius, the three great kings of the Medo-Persian Empire. Furthermore, the three ribs have absolutely no relation to the nation of Israel, but they are tied exclusively to the Medo-Persian Empire, and I think that should be plain enough. Since you must realize that as we move closer in time to the coming of the Lord, our understanding must be richer, clearer, and perfect. That is that. Verse 6. After this I beheld, and lo another, like a leopard, the Grecian Empire, or the Empire of Greece, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl, also giving the Grecian Empire great swiftness and power. Under its first king Alexander the Great, the beast had also four heads, who are four military generals, who ruled the four kingdoms into which the empire was eventually broken up into, following the death of Alexander, and dominion was given to it. Saints of God, these three beast empires are past, and hence, they are historical. So, now pay attention, because the next beast is our focus, for that is a beast that has a serious end-time prophetic role, and the beast we must therefore watch. Saints, from here, right to the end of this chapter, Daniel was shown the fourth and last Gentile world beast empire, which is the Roman beast empire, represented as the ten-horned beast, and it is this beast empire that has full bearing upon this message. From verse 7, the Holy Bible records, "After this I saw in the night visions, and behold a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had ten horns. The ten horns give us the ten major European nations that were formed out of the breakdown of the Roman Empire, for their political territorial horns." Now watch verse 8. "I considered the horns, the ten horns, and, behold, there came up among them another little horn, which is a mystical or religious horn, a spiritual or ecclesiastical horn, which is the papacy, which developed much later in time, a horn which added no territory to the Roman beast, like the ten horns did, because the ten horns are the territorial horns with their respective kings, unlike the little horn, which is a spiritual horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots," meaning that this little horn subdued or disciplined three horns, three political horns, he disciplined three kings, without destroying their territorial or national identity, because the ten horns always remain on the Roman beast, even at the very end of time, as confirmed in verse 24, a verse we shall still see later. The account in verse 8 continues, stating, "And, behold, in this horn, in the little horn, will rise like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things, which are blasphemies." Verses 19 to 22 provides, "Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured, brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet, because it was and is an extremely mean and terrible beast, and of the ten horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, which is the little horn, the ecclesiastical horn, which is the papacy, and before whom three fell, for he disciplined three of the ten horns, even of that horn that had eyes, and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows, who are the ten horns, the ten kings. I beheld, and the same horn, the same little horn, made war with the saints of God, and prevailed against them, in the last week of Daniel, unto the Ancient of Days came, who is the incarnate God, Christ the King of kings and Lord of lords, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possess a kingdom, in the millennium. Brothers and sisters, by this prophecy, it simply means that once the little horn, the ecclesiastical horn, is formed, and he steps on the Roman scene, taking over the political power or control of the Roman base empire, we must keep our eyes on that little horn, right up till Christ the King comes at the very end of the 70th week, on the day of the Lord, immediately preceding the millennial reign, for it will be the Roman based all the way. This little horn, which is strictly a religious horn, the papacy, which added no territory to the Roman based, occupying the Vatican City, which is only a tiny city within the city of Rome, and making up a state, the Vatican State, within the nation of Italy. The Italian state is the office of the man of sin, whom the Holy Bible also calls that Antichrist, that is to come, the son of perdition, for it is the office we must see, rather than the individual who sits in it. I say that, because many popes have come and gone, but that office remains, just as many kings have come and gone, ruling the ten horns, but the ten horns also remain. That was why throughout the Dark Ages, the popes ruled the Roman base empire, calling their shots over the ten horns of Europe. Saints of God, the papacy, or the Bishop of Rome, who is the little horn of the Roman base empire, is the little prince of Rome, spoken of in Daniel 9 verse 27, following that of verse 26, which gives us general titles. The only difference is that whilst the little prince in verse 26 applied to General Titus, a Roman military general, and is a fulfilled prophecy, for it is past. In contrast, verse 27 gives us the Pope of Rome of the prophetica, that Antichrist himself, who is to come, the little horn of Daniel chapter 7, which applies strictly in the 70th week of Daniel, for it speaks of the future. In Daniel chapter 7, he is expressed in prophecy in verses 24 to 27, even as it is written, "And the 10 horns out of this kingdom and the 10 kings there shall arise, and another little horn shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first 10 horns, being strictly a spiritual horn, and he shall subdue 3 kings, and he shall speak great words against the Most High God, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time, 1 year, and times, 2 years, and the dividing of time, which is 6 months, giving us a total of 3.5 years, of the second half of the 70th week of Daniel." And from this passage of scripture, we can all see without any iota of doubt that the little horn takes us straight into the 70th week of Daniel, for indeed, the papacy is the office of the man of sin, the Antichrist, who is to come. Verse 26, however, concludes, declaring, "But the judgment shall seek, and they shall take away his dominion on the day of the Lord, to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion, and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven, shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him, who is Christ the King of kings, and Lord of lords." Brothers and sisters, this little horn, the coming Antichrist, the small prince recorded in Daniel 9 verse 27, is the man who will make or confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and it is this little horn, this ecclesiastical horn, that was typed under the Grecian Empire by the Syrian prince, Antiochus Epiphanes. Please come with me to the Holy Scriptures. In Daniel chapter 8, from verse 3, we see a ram which had 2 horns, representing the Medo-Persian Empire, the second beast empire, a 2 kingdom empire, the empire of Medes and Persia, an empire which was first ruled by Darius, the power of Medes, revealed in Daniel 5 verse 31, before it was taken over by Cyrus, the power of Persia, which was the higher of the 2 horns, a higher horn which came up last. Continuing with Daniel 8, this ram, the Medo-Persian base empire, was viciously attacked and overcome by a he-goat, which represents the Grecian base empire, having a notable horn between his eyes, which represents Alexander the Great, the power of Macedonia, that great general of the Grecian army, who brought the Medo-Persian empire to its end, and beginning the Grecian base empire, the Empire of Greece. However, from verse 8, we are also told, "And please take notice, therefore the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken. And for it came up 4 notable ones toward the 4 winds of heaven, with the sudden death of Alexander the Great, 356 to 323 BC, a young conquering general, who died from a drinking stupor at the age of 32, and with no heir, the empire broke into 4, under the 4 generals of Alexander, each carving a kingdom for themselves, the kingdom of Cassander, Macedon, the kingdom of Lysimachus, the kingdom of Seleucus, Syria, and the kingdom of Ptolemy, Egypt, the 4 main divisions into which the Grecian empire was broken, split under the 4 generals of Alexander the Great, and verses 20 to 22 confirms this truth. The kingdom of Cassander was made up of Macedonia, majority of Greece, with parts of Thrace. The kingdom of Lysimachus consisted of Lydia, Ionia, Phrygia, with parts of Turkey. The kingdom of Seleucus, or the Seleucid kingdom, which is the Syrian kingdom, consisted of Iran, Iraq, Syria, and parts of Central Asia. The kingdom of Ptolemy comprised of Egypt and its surrounding regions. However, it is the Seleucid kingdom that is material to us, for it gives us the Syrian-controlled kingdom under Antiochus Epiphanes, the Syrian prince, a military general, which Daniel chapter 8, verse 9, now gives to us. Listen very attentively, for verse 9 plainly declares, "And out of one of them, out of one of the four major divisions of the broken-up Grecian Empire," referring now to the Seleucid kingdom, "came forth a little horn, the Syrian prince, Antiochus Epiphanes, which waxed exceeding great, toward the south, and toward the east, and toward the pleasant land of Israel. And it waxed great, even to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground, and stamped upon them," speaking strictly about the spirit of Lucifer that inspired Antiochus Epiphanes in that day. Church, right here we have a little horn of the Grecian-based empire, who was a prototype, a perfect type of the Antichrist to come, the little horn of the Roman-based empire, recorded in Daniel chapter 7, verse 8, an empire that was to succeed the Grecian empire. Brothers and sisters, Antiochus was the same in his hatred for the children of Israel and in his utter disdain for Judaism, just like Adolf Hitler, and he did to the children of Israel exactly what the coming Antichrist will equally do in the 70th week of Daniel. Therefore, please note that this little horn of the Grecian Empire, Antiochus Epiphanes, a prince of Syria, was only a prototype, a perfect type of the coming little horn of Rome, whom we saw in chapter 7, and who has an end-time role, right there in the last week of Daniel. Continuing with Antiochus, the Grecian little horn, Daniel chapter 8, verse 11, states, "Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice in Jerusalem was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. He even forced the Jews to offer a sow, a pig, on the altar of God in Jerusalem, an abomination for that matter. And he also forced them to eat swine, which the law of Moses forbade, as he forcefully sought to desecrate the sanctuary of God. The record of his evil acts continues, and an host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced, and prospered. Then I had one saint speaking, and another saint said unto the Satanist in which spake, How long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice, and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden under foot? And he said unto me, Unto 2,300 days, 2,300 literal days, which gives us 6 years plus about 5 months, as it is a fulfilled prophecy, one which we cannot calculate as years, but as literal days. Otherwise, it will eat into the subsequent Roman-based era, and hence, it will eat into the entire Greece age, because the Seleucid kingdom was from 312 to 64 BC. Then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. This very cleansing of the temple in Jerusalem took place in the days of the Maccabean brothers, five sons of Mattathias Maccabee, a priest. Their father, Mattathias, had killed an unfaithful compromised Jew who stepped forward to offer sacrifice to an idol that he, Mattathias, had bluntly refused to offer because it was totally idolatrous. When he killed this unfaithful Jew, he fled with his five sons to the wilderness of Judea, and this sparked the revolt. And after his death 1 year later, in 166 BC, Judah Maccabee led an army to revolt against the forceful imposition of idolatry on the Jews, waging guerrilla-style warfare, and they were very successful against the Seleucids, the Syrians, thereby leaving them the space to cleanse the temple according to the Torah, just as prophet Daniel had prophesied. The Encyclopedia Britannica has this to say of the abominable deeds of Antiochus against the children of Israel. The Seleucid kingdom was a major center of Hellenistic culture, which maintained the preeminence of Greek customs and manners over the indigenous cultures of the Middle East. A Greek-speaking Macedonian aristocratic class dominated the Seleucid state throughout its history, although this dominance was most strongly felt in the urban areas. Resistance to Greek cultural hegemony peaked during the reign of Antiochus IV, 175 to 163, Hearn's promotion of Greek culture culminated in his raising a statue to Zeus in the temple at Jerusalem. He had previously ordered the Jews to build shrines to idols and to sacrifice pigs and other unclean animals, and had forbidden circumcision, essentially prohibiting, on pain of death, the practice of the Jewish law. This persecution of the Jews and desecration of the temple sparked the Maccabean uprising beginning in 165. A quarter century of Maccabean resistance ended with the final wresting of control over Judea from the Seleucids and the creation of an independent Judea in Palestine. The Seleucid kingdom began losing control over large territories in the 3rd century BC. An inexorable, unstoppable decline followed the first defeat of the Seleucids by the Romans in 190. Brothers and sisters, so, here in Daniel chapter 8, verses 9 to 14, we see Antiochus Epiphanes, the Syrian prince, the little horn of the Grecian base empire, the third base empire recorded in Daniel chapter 7, who was only a prototype, a perfect replica of the coming little horn of the Roman base empire, which is the papacy, the ecclesiastical horn of Daniel chapter 7, verse 8. Continuing with the account written in Daniel chapter 8, verses 9 to 14, which laid out the little horn of the Seleucid kingdom of Greece, verse 19, now records. And he, the angel of God, said to prophet Daniel, "Behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation. For at the time appointed the end shall be," speaking not only with regards to the end of the Grecian base empire, but also with regards to the coming little horn of Rome, the papacy, of which Antiochus set a perfect type. Church, please note that from verse 23, it is the king or prince of Rome, the little horn of the Roman base empire, that Antichrist, the he of chapter 9, verse 27, the man who shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, that now comes into full prophetic view, and not Antiochus, just as Daniel chapter 8, verses 23 to 25, declares, and in the latter time of their kingdom, which is the end time, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences, shall stand up, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power, for it shall be by the power of Lucifer, who, according to Revelation 13, verses 2 to 4, gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority, being his super prince, his heir apparent, and he, who is the little horn of Rome, the Pope of the 70th week, the covenant maker, shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper, and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people of God. Watch, and through his policy also he shall cause craft, economics, to prosper in his hand. And he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, Jesus Christ the King, on the day of the Lord, but he shall be broken without hand. Saints of God, from this very verse of Scripture, we are given to know precisely what the covenant stated in chapter 9, verse 27, is all about. It is a false peace and economic pact meant to last forever, but God determines that it will only last for 7 years of the 70th week of Daniel. Brothers and sisters, he will offer them an era of false peace, and also cause craft, economics, of the Roman prophetic world to prosper in his hand, and the world will fall greatly for him. They will fall at his feet, because it is all about money and materialism. It is all about material prosperity and economics, as money is their God. And is that not what the world wants? Material prosperity. For as long as people have money and materialism, an era that enables them to enjoy themselves, living a life of riley, a life of pleasures, they are happy, and they will love the Antichrist to death. Now Satan gives it to them through his super prince, and the prophetic world is completely mesmerized and taken by him. May I therefore warn that this covenant or pact has absolutely nothing to do with salvation, and neither does it have anything to do with the building of the temple in Jerusalem, one which will be built today, the third temple, which will be the millennial temple, one that the King of Kings will sit in. I repeat, this covenant is not for the building of the temple, Because the temple would have been built before the 70th week starts, for he only takes it over. The coming hour of the Jewish miraculous in the field of battle is precisely what God will use to cause the building of the temple. Please note this fact, for as it is infallible and clearly written, it is a peace and prosperity covenant that he will initiate, and not the building of the temple of God in Jerusalem. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Before we now reconnect with Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, which gives us the He, who is the covenant maker, the little prince of Rome, the Pope of the hour, let us first finish off with his prototype, the little horn of the Grecian Empire, as he is also laid out in chapter 11, so that we do not leave any gaps of understanding. In Daniel chapter 11, the Bible starts with the account of the Medo-Persian Empire in verses 1 to 2. And then it moves straight to the Grecian Empire in verse 3, where we see Alexander the Great, referred to as a mighty king, who shall stand up and who shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will. However, from verse 4, we again see the breakup of the Grecian base empire into four main kingdoms, a division we saw earlier in chapter 8, verse 8, even as Daniel chapter 11, verse 4, now states, and when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken, and shall be divided toward the four winds of heaven, and not to his posterity, nor according to his dominion which he ruled, for his kingdom shall be plucked up, even for others beside those. The difference between this account, compared with chapter 8, is that whilst chapter 8 gives preeminence to the Syrian kingdom of the Grecian Empire, the Seleucid kingdom, having a little horn, Antiochus Epiphanes. In contrast, chapter 11, from verses 5 to 14, first lays out the preeminence of the kingdom of Ptolemy, Egypt, of the Grecian Empire, called the King of the South, before the kingdom of Seleucid took over, referred to as the King of the North, the Syrian prince, gaining preeminence over the Grecian Empire, from verses 15 to 35, which brings Antiochus Epiphanes, the little horn of the Seleucid kingdom, once again into focus. But in verses 32 to 35, we see the days of the Maccabean revolt against the Seleucids and Antiochus, the Syrian prince, which led to the cleansing of the sanctuary of God in Jerusalem. Therefore, back in verse 30, zeroing in on Antiochus Epiphanes, the Holy Scripture now records, for the ships of Chittim, which is Rome, shall come against him. As the Roman Republic slowly steps into the picture, greatly weakening the power of the Seleucid kingdom of the Grecian Empire, although the influence of the Syrian prince, the little horn of Greece, the prototype of the little horn of Rome, does not end until verse 35, for in verse 35 is where the last reference to the influence of Antiochus Epiphanes is made. Church, from verse 36, or references to the Grecian Empire, and that Antichrist of the Roman base empire takes over, right from verse 36 to the very end of the chapter, which is verse 45, a passage we are still going to x-ray when we come to the breakdown of the 70th week of Daniel. Brothers and sisters, Daniel chapter 12 continues with the thought about the coming Antichrist, the little prince, or the little horn of Rome, the covenant maker, as he is referred to specifically in verse 7, as he who will scatter the power of the holy people, although we will leave chapter 12 for later. It is important that we understand that Daniel chapter 12 is only continuing the closing thought expressed in chapter 11, from verse 36, of the coming king of the Roman base empire, who is the little horn, the coming Antichrist. Do not forget, brothers and sisters, that we are dealing in this message with the 70 weeks of Daniel. Church, by the grace of God, we have identified the He of Daniel 9 verse 27, the little prince of Rome, the prince of the Roman base empire, who shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and who is none other than the Pope of Rome. He is also spoken of in Daniel chapter 7 as the ecclesiastical or mystical horn, the little horn of the Roman beast, having compared him with his prototype, Antiochus Epiphanes, the Syrian prince, the little horn of the Grecian base empire, who set a perfect type of the coming Antichrist. With this crucial identity having been fully opened up scripturally, we now want to come back to pick up Daniel chapter 9, that we may move up a notch in our consideration of this message. Daniel chapter 9 provides in verse 27, "And he, the Pope of that hour, the man of sin, the son of perdition, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week." The material question now is this: who are the many that this little prince of Rome, the Antichrist, will confirm or make the covenant with? Do not forget that this covenant is a legal pact or a treaty, a concordat, not the new covenant of grace which we have in Jesus Christ, but a legal treaty. And on the full and unquestionable authority of Daniel chapter 8, verses 23 to 25, we have shown that it is strictly a peace and economic pact, a treaty that guarantees peace and prosperity for all, although it is a false one. That passage in Daniel chapter 8, verses 23 to 25, plainly declares, "And in the latter time of their kingdom," bringing us to this end time, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance, who is that man of sin and understanding dark sentences, which are the deep and deceptive things of Satan, by which the hearts of the carnal-minded people of the world can be ensnared, for the accomplishment of Lucifer's ultimate desire to be God, shall stand up, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power, for it is strictly by pure satanic power. As it is the prince of this evil world, who anoints and empowers him for his end-time rule. Now listen to this: and he, the Antichrist, shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper, and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people of God. Now watch what his covenant guarantees in verse 25: "And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. The economy will boom under his reign, bringing material prosperity, carnal prosperity, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand." So, we can all appreciate by the scriptures what exactly this covenant or pact is all about. It guarantees false peace and prosperity. Period. No wonder, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3, the Holy Bible warns, "For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." The material question, therefore, remains: who are the many that the Pope, the little horn of Rome, will make a covenant with in fulfillment of Daniel 9, verse 27? The book of Revelation chapter 17, verses 12 to 13, reveals, "And the 10 horns on the Roman beast, which thou sawest, the 10 kings, the 10 horns of Europe," speaking of the European Union, "which have received no kingdom as yet, because none of the 10 horns have been able to form their own separate world empire, outside of the Roman beast empire, which is actually the fourth and last beast empire, laid out in Daniel 7, which was precisely why Adolf Hitler was doomed to fail. They are not allowed by God to receive or form their own separate beast empire, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast man." The little horn of Daniel 7 verse 8: "These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast man, the papacy, by a pact, a covenant, thereby allowing the Pope to rule over them." As the head of the European Union, the head of the European superstates, Jesus Christ adds in his prophetic revelation in verse 17, "For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and give their kingdom unto the beast man of sin, the Antichrist, the Pope of that hour, until the words of God shall be fulfilled." Amen. So, we can all clearly see that the covenant stated in Daniel 9 verse 27 will be made with the European Union. However, we must also note that this treaty will also involve other nations who bring themselves under the jurisdiction of the Pope of that hour, nations who align with him for economic and political gains, particularly the nation of Israel. Brothers and sisters, as a matter of scriptural fact, and I warn you all to please take note of this fact, it is this peace and economic treaty, which the nation of Israel will also make with the papacy, that actually sets the 70th week of Daniel in motion. fulfilling the prophetic utterance that Jesus Christ gave in the Gospel of St. John chapter 5, where he declared in verse 43, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive, who is the Antichrist, and with whom they will make a covenant. But it is a covenant that Antichrist will break, just 3.5 years down the road, right in the middle of that last week, exactly as Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, states, And he, the Pope of that hour, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, giving us the 70th week, thereby tying the nation of Israel, who has a balance of 1 week of 7 full years, of the 70 weeks, into this group of nations of covenant makers, and in the midst, or middle, of the week, that is, after 3.5 years of false peace and prosperity, he, the Antichrist, shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, breaking his covenant with Israel. Right there in the middle of the last week, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, or completion, and the determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Brothers and sisters, this evil move is what ushers the world into the last 3.5 years of the 70th week of Daniel, called the Great Tribulation Period, a period which, in reality, is actually the last phase of the Great Tribulation, a period we also laid out on our charts. Nevertheless, this passage of Scripture lets us know that the Antichrist will make a pact or covenant with many nations, particularly with the European Union and Israel. And we must not forget that it is his covenant with the nation of Israel that really sets up the prophetic time of Israel for the commencement of the last week of Daniel. As I stated earlier, although they will intend that the peace and economic pact should last forever, however, it is God that determines that it will last for only 7 years, giving the nation of Israel the balance of her allotted prophetic time of 7 years, which is 1 full week, thereby bringing to an end the 70 weeks. May I add that with the current stand of the United States President Donald Trump against the Iranian deal that Barack Obama made, with his scrapping of the deal, which greatly affects the European Union, who has signed economic contracts based on the deal, plus the heavy tariffs he has also placed on steel and aluminium imports from the European Union, Canada, China, and Japan, the European Union can only be pushed into closer integration with each other, having no choice but to completely cutting off their ties to the United States, creating the platform for the man of sin to take over. There is no doubt that considering his negative attitude towards the European Union, Donald Trump is acting just like the new Pharaoh that arose over Egypt in the days when Moses was born, which knew not Joseph, Exodus 1 verse 8. For he is forcing the hands of the European Union to go their way, unwittingly serving the purpose of God, and eventually, the European Union will find the necessary support from the Pontiff of Rome. For just as a former Secretary General of NATO, the first President of the United Nations General Assembly, a man who was also a former Belgian Prime Minister and a former President of the Consultative Assembly of the Council of Europe, formerly known as the European Common Market, Paul Henry Spark, said decades ago, We do not want another committee. We have too many already. What we want is a man of sufficient stature to hold the allegiance of all people and to lift us out of the economic morass in which we are sinking. Send us such a man and, be he God or the devil, we will receive him. And they will surely receive the devil, not God, but Satan's Superman, for he is coming, and the stage has already been set for him as we speak, and he will give them exactly what they want, false peace and prosperity. Come with me to consider the prophetic revelation of Apostle Paul, written in the second epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 2, beginning from verse 1, which reads, Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand, the day of our translation, the day of our being caught up into heaven, the day of rapture. Now pay attention to what he now says. Let no man deceive you by any means, for the day of rapture shall not come, except the come a falling away first, from the faith and end-time apostasy, one that is before us today, which has created the open rebellion against God and His Word all around the world, and, secondly, the man of sin, who is the Antichrist, be revealed, the son of perdition. Did you hear that? The second and final condition precedent that the rapture hangs upon is that the man of sin be revealed, meaning that he must be introduced to the world, taking his position as the head of the European Union. That is what it means for him to be revealed here, for it is not as in a divine revelation of the word, but about his introduction or manifestation as the head of the European superstates, a position which the papacy occupied in the Dark Ages. This prophetic passage of Scripture, therefore, lets us know without any shadow of doubt that we will see the very beginning of the reign of the Antichrist, which commences at the very start of the 70th week, just as we will also see the beginning of the ministry of Moses and Elijah, the two olive trees. And we will know that a few days down the road, after we are gone, precisely in the middle of that week, he will break his covenant with Israel and become the false prophet, ushering in the last phase of the Great Tribulation. Consequently, once we see his introduction, then the rapture will come just as we have it on our charts, right there at the opening of the 70th week. Therefore, it is this covenant or treaty with the Pope of Rome that sets the last week of Daniel in motion, and as I must continue to emphasize, it is a treaty guaranteeing peace and prosperity for everyone, though a false one, but that is what it guarantees them, the bait for which they will dance with the devil. But remember, since, as I also stated earlier, this pact that will be made is intended to last forever, and not for 7 years, but it is God that ordains that it will last for only 7 years. The Roman Catholic Church already owns the gold reserves of the world, which is the bullion of the world, along with her ownership of the top economic and financial institutions of this world. Therefore, when money fails, and it will fail, for there is bound to come a great and unparalleled economic collapse, a total collapse, the ten horns will have no choice but to accept the man of sin who will bail them out and guarantee them economic prosperity. It has to be an economic situation that is beyond them for them to accept the rulership of the Pope. And just as we have shown on our chart, which lays out the first half of that last week of Daniel, as long as people have nice jobs, own nice homes, drive lovely cars, can wine and dine and enjoy themselves, having a pleasurable time, either on a beach or by attending parties and music concerts, they are very happy in a highly materialistic, carnal, off-bound world, a world where people have no clue to the prophetic reality of what is going on all around them, and neither do they have the faintest clue to what is in store for them, what is coming to hit this world. Is that not what the Spirit of the Lord laid out in Daniel chapter 8? That is precisely what the Lord revealed in that chapter of the Holy Scriptures, as recorded in verses 23 to 25, declaring, "And in the latter time of their kingdom, coming to the end of the Roman-based empire," which brings us to the days of the European superstates, when the transgressors come to the full, acting a fierce countenance, who is the coming Antichrist, and understanding dark sentences, understanding the deep things of Satan, and the deceptive things of Satan, by which the hearts of carnal, mortal men can be enslaved, for the accomplishment of Lucifer's honest desire to be God, shall stand up, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And listen to this, and he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper, and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. Did you hear that? People will be seriously deceived by the momentary prosperity and peace he offers them, because they have no clue, no understanding of anything. And that is because they are just a liberal-minded, materialistic, and atheistic people, an earthbound bunch of pleasure-loving humanity, who have no time for God and His Word. And even many of those who think they are close to God are just like Cain, having only a religious spirit. And I say that because they have no revelation of anything, and neither are they interested in any deep thing of the Spirit of Christ. That is why the Bible warns in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 to 12. Let no man deceive you by any means, for the day of rapture shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that as God sitteth in the temple of God, shewing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that, when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already walk. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Now listen to this, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That is precisely why they will fall for the Antichrist, and be damned at the end of the road, because they have not the love of the truth. Brothers and sisters, coming back to continue with Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, which now brings us to the last week of Daniel, the final week of time, the week where the times of the Gentiles will come to a total close, mortal man's final week of time, ending the six dispensational days of man's rulership of this planet. The Bible says, "And he, the Antichrist, the Pope of Rome, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, thereby setting the 70th week of prophetic time in motion." Church, may I say that this week of time, or rather, the making of this pact or covenant, will not precede the ending of the Gentile dispensation of grace. In other words, once the 70th week is set in motion by this covenant or pact, it proves that the Gentile age of grace has been fully utilized, that it has ended, and the hour has now come for God to start dealing exclusively with the nation of Israel. The opening of the 70th week marks the end of the Gentile dispensation of grace of about 2,000 years. Brothers and sisters, I thank God for sending William Branham, the end-time Gentile Elijah of Malachi, for verse 6b. I thank God because it took that humble and faithful man's ministry, all under Christ, to let us know precisely how to look at this Laodicean church age, and particularly, how exactly we are to look forward, strictly in the light of Bible prophecy. In this regard, what a pivotal year 1963 was for the Bride of Jesus Christ. What a phenomenal year, since it is a year we have also represented on our charts, right after the restoration of the prophetic fig tree, because that was the year when the first six seals of Revelation chapter 6 were broken, leaving us with the seventh and final seal. Precisely in the month of March 1963, the Lord Jesus broke the seals in heaven and sent down a constellation of seven angels to Brother Branham, with the revelation of the first six seals, and a posting forward with regards to the seventh and final seal. This great and astounding revelatory move of Jesus Christ in that day was what opened up the door of divine understanding to the end-time elect bride, to the extremely deep and complex book of Apocalypse, the book of Revelation. The Paul of this last age, the Apostle Raymond Jackson, called the book of Revelation the love letter of Jesus Christ to the bride of this last age, and it is a fact that only the true end-time bride, the people following Jesus Christ in the continuity of the scriptural revelation, can understand this book to the depths of its prophetic revelation. And as a result of the most gracious dealing we have received at this evening time, from the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Truth, we know exactly how to look forward to the prophetic picture that is ahead, including the 70th week of Daniel, with all its surrounding prophetic circumstances, strictly in the light of the Holy Scriptures. And on this basis, speaking specifically about the 70th week of Daniel. Brothers and sisters, three prophetic things will take place around this very time period. First, just before the 70th week is set in motion by the pact, The seventh seal will be broken by Jesus Christ in heaven, igniting the period of time we have on our chart, the near 30-minute silence, the silence in heaven about the space of half an hour, which Revelation 8 verse 1 gives to us. This is what makes Archangel Michael come down to earth in the Spirit, characterizing Jesus the Christ, as revealed in Revelation chapter 10, verses 1 to 4, with the fully open scroll of redemption, which he first gives to John for his total consumption, as verses 8 to 11, taken with chapter 11, verse 1, confirms, thus igniting the prophetic ministry of John. St. John will now put the universal bride of Christ on notice that Gentile salvation is completely over, for Jesus Christ has left the mediatorial throne. Following this, Archangel Michael will also ignite the ministry of the other apostolic prophetic thunders, giving us the seven thunders, as they then prophetically prepare the bride of Christ for the rapture event itself, under the great and unparalleled downpouring of the Spirit of God, prophetically called the latter rain. It is within this near 30-minute silence in heaven about the space of half an hour, that the 70th week will then be ignited by the covenant the Pope makes with the nation of Israel. The rapture will take place any day from that point, because we will be caught up at the very opening of that final week, being the season of the rapture, as the opening of that week is the last prophetic event that the rapture is contingent, hangs upon. 2 Thessalonians verse 3. It is important to point out, saints, that although salvation will be over once the seventh seal is broken, nevertheless, the Gentile dispensation will not be over until the 70th week starts. It means, in essence, that once the 2 days of Hosea 6 verse 2, which gives us the 2,000 years of the Gentile dispensation of grace, comes to a close, the 70th week must and will also be ignited, just as the grace age was ignited at the very close of the 69th week, back then in the month of Nisan in 33 AD. Second, as we brought out in our message in the scribe titled Ezekiel 38 and 39 Battle, a revisit, the battle of Ezekiel 38 and 39 will be fought following the coming hour of the Jewish miraculous in the field of battle, before the 70th week of time can take place, because of the burning of the weapons of war and other material issues that are to take place, leading to the last week. We have represented this battle on our chart, close to the last week. Third, the coming ministries of the two Jewish prophets, Moses and Elijah, which Revelation chapter 11, verses 3 to 6, gives to the children of Israel, the two olive trees, and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth, will be ignited the very day the covenant with the Antichrist is made. For their ministry will synchronize with the very beginning of the 70th week. This is because, as it is written, they will prophesy exactly for 1260 days, even as Revelation 11, verse 3, states, "And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1260 days," which is precisely 3.5 years of the first half of the 70th week, clothed in sackcloth. Saints, this is precisely when the nation of Israel will have her revival, a great revival, still under the latter rain, for 3.5 years of the first half of that week, right under the ministry of Moses and Elijah, who will reveal Jesus Christ, the Jewish Messiah, to them. During the same time, the world is enjoying their false peace and prosperity. This is what will fulfill Romans chapter 11, verses 25 to 26, a time when the fountain of life will be opened up to the nation of Israel, as God reconciles her back to himself, during the great revival. For as the world is enjoying false peace and prosperity, the nation of Israel will likewise be having her revival, for her revival will start right from the very beginning of that week. Church, may I add that that last week of time will also start in the month of Nisan, which is April, whatever year that falls on in this century. For this is the century and the very generation of people that will receive the return of Jesus Christ for his bride, being the generation that saw the prophetic, the fig tree, which is the nation of Israel, give birth again, that is, restored. For as the 70 weeks of Daniel began in the month of Nisan 445 BC, with the first week period of 49 years ending in the month of Nisan 396 BC, and the second week period of 434 years also ending in the month of Nisan 33 AD, when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. Brothers and sisters, the third and final week period of 7 years cannot but also start in the month of Nisan, which is the month of April, in this 21st century, whenever that year will fall, because that is the very month the Messiah was crucified in 33 AD, and that is the very month that will usher in the period when the Messiah is to be revealed to the nation of Israel through the ministries of Moses and Elijah. So, I repeat, the very day the last week of Daniel starts is the very day God will also set the ministry of Moses and Elijah in motion, because their period of ministry covers precisely the first half of the 70th week, just as Revelation chapter 11, verses 3 to 6, provides, "And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees, and the two candlesticks, of Zechariah chapter 4, standing before the God of the earth, bearing the two greatest anointings of God, under the Old Testament. And if any man will hurt them, in their satanic hour, fire proceedeth out of their mouth, and devoureth their enemies, in divine judgment, because they are simply untouchable. They will see the evil plans of all their enemies, however secretly they are held, for nothing shall be hidden from them in that day, and they will speak the word of judgment, and it shall happen just as they have decreed. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed." But who exactly are these two prophets? Now listen, these have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, giving us the return of the ministry of Elijah, the spirit of Elijah, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues, as often as they will, giving us the return ministry of Moses, the spirit of Moses. They will bring revival to the nation of Israel, fulfilling Zechariah 12 verses 10 to 14, Zechariah 13 verse 1, Ezekiel 36 verses 24 to 27, Romans 11 verses 25 to 26, etc. It is under their ministry that the 144,000 Jewish men, revealed in Revelation chapter 7 verses 1 to 8, preachers who will carry the everlasting gospel in the second half of the week, will be anointed, along with the woman of Revelation chapter 12, both groups we have on our chart. The two prophets will expose the Pope for who he really is, and judge Israel for making a pact with the Antichrist, by sending plagues upon the Middle East in divine judgment. This will make the Pope so mad, that having listened to them for 3.5 years exposing him to the world, he would have lost all sense of God, that the devil will literally incarnate him, entering into him, just as he entered into Judas. And in the middle of that week, the Pope will take his European International Military Strike Force and forcefully enter Jerusalem, killing the two prophets, taking over the temple, sitting in it as God, desecrating it, demanding worship as God, and ushering the bloodbath against the children of Israel. Right from the middle of that week, from verse 7 of Revelation 11, the Bible declares, "And one day, the two Jewish prophets shall have finished their testimony, not before, but after they would have finished delivering their message, fulfilling their ministry commission. The beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit, the spirit of Lucifer which has incarnated the Pope, shall make war against them, and shall overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the streets of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified, which is Jerusalem, but which is now totally apostate, and has also gone completely idolatrous in that hour, being in spiritual bondage, just like Sodom in Egypt. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and an half, through the television network, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them, and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth, by the divine judgments that they will be calling for, as they will be calling for plagues upon plagues, and even for drought upon the Middle East, in the days of their ministry." But watch. And after 3 days and half the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, in a private resurrection in translation, just like Enoch and Elijah the Tishbite had in their private translation, and great fear fell upon them which saw them, live on television, on the internet, on YouTube, on WhatsApp, etc. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud. And their enemies beheld them, on live broadcast. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city, of Jerusalem, fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. And the remnant were affrighted, and gave glory to the God of heaven. Hallelujah! Once the middle of the week approaches, the 144,000 everlasting gospel preachers are ready to hit the road to the nations of the earth. Throughout the last half of the week, as laid out on our chart, right there in the second half of the week, and as revealed in Revelation chapter 14, in order to prepare the tribulation saints, who are the Jewish saints, as well as the Gentile foolish virgins, to face martyrdom in the last half of that week. They will literally be on ground till Jesus comes at the end of that week. The woman element of the nation of Israel will also be ready to flee in the middle of the week to the United States of America, which is the prophetic earth in Revelation 12 verse 16, also referred to as the wilderness in verses 6 and 14. Hence, when the middle of the week comes, they will have chartered jet planes already waiting on the tarmac to airlift them to safety, because the two prophets would have instructed them prophetically, giving them what the Holy Scripture calls in verse 14, the two wings of a great eagle. Moreover, the intelligence of the United States would have also caught wind of the bloodbath that the Antichrist is about to release upon the Jews, and would have made moves to secretly airlift them, right there in the middle of that week, to be nurtured and preserved in America, till Jesus returns physically at the end of that week, because according to verse 6, they will be preserved for precisely 1260 days of the tribulation period. We have also portrayed this woman on our charts in the second half of the week. Moving up a notch in our consideration of our message, titled The 70 Weeks of Daniel, we now want to consider the Great Tribulation period, which the last 3.5 years gives to us, and with it, we will close this message. But first, may I say, and please take note, that the seven trumpets, the seven judgment trumpet angels of Revelation chapters 8 and 9, the last trumpet of which is laid out in chapter 11, verses 15 to 19, trumpets of divine judgment, will be set in motion, starting from the beginning of the 70th week, right under the ministry of Moses and Elijah. However, the last trumpet will be sounded on the day of the Lord, which gives us the physical return of Jesus Christ, immediately that week closes. I repeat, the first judgment trumpet sounds at the very beginning of the 70th week, right under the ministry of Moses and Elijah, and the seventh trumpet sounds at the very end of that week, on the day of the Lord. However, I have placed all seven trumpets on our chart in the first half of the week, not because that is where they are all ignited, for they are not all ignited in the first half of the week, and please note that, but I have placed them there on our charts, simply to show where they start, and to also show that the trumpets are all applicable in the 70th week, without giving a breakdown of their precise place of activation within that week. In other words, our chart only shows that the trumpets are ordained for the last week of Daniel, but it does not show, and it is not meant to show, precisely where they are fulfilled within that week, other than the first and the last trumpet. And it is very important that we all get this fact straight. Since they are applicable in the 70th week, we had to therefore put them on our chart, showing precisely where they start, although we are not going to give a breakdown of the trumpets, and neither are we going to show their exact place of fulfillment within that week, apart from the first and last trumpet, because our revelatory understanding of the seven trumpets is incomplete. Yes, the chief apostle gave us a breakdown of it, but the truth also remains that he was not given the complete revelation of it, for he had the revelation of the trumpets only to a measure, which is why as it stands today, there are certain material questions relating to this subject that we cannot answer, And it only proves that we do not have the entire revelational picture. And the very fact that I am saying this should let you know that indeed, with the understanding we have received from Brother Jackson, there are still some issues relating to this subject that we cannot place scripturally, issues I can see. And it only proves that there is still a vacuum in our understanding of this prophetic subject. Period. Moreover, Brother Jackson himself let us know that more light will still come concerning the prophetic events laid out in the book of Revelation, and we will wait patiently on God for his light. For as it is written in Psalm 36, verse 9, "For with thee, God, is the fountain of life, in thy light, and only in God's light, shall we see light." Consequently, we will not be dealing with it until the Lord gives us the complete picture, and that is bound to come, but it will come in God's own time. However, personally, I believe that it will come before we are finished with the catching up program of laying out the continuity light in the Scribe magazine, so we can finish this foundation of revealed faith. Therefore, because God sets a revelatory pace, it is enough to know that the seven trumpets are tied to the 70th week of Daniel, and that the first trumpet starts under the ministry of Moses and Elijah, although the seventh trumpet brings us to the day of the Lord, immediately that week closes out, for it gives us the physical return of Christ to establish the millennium. Speaking about the first trumpet, Revelation chapter 8, verses 2-7, declares, "And I saw the seven angels, seven judgment angels, which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer, and filled it with fire of the altar, and cast it into the earth, and there were voices, and thunderings, and lightnings, and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound." Watch verse 7. "The first angel sounded, and the followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up, bringing drought, famine, but limiting its effect to the area around the Middle East, and not the whole world, because it affects only one third part of trees. Therefore, it is a judgment that takes place right under the ministry of the two Jewish prophets, and not a repeat of what they will call foreign divine judgment, as recorded in chapter 11, verse 6. For it is certainly not a doubling up of judgments in that hour of time, and you must please note this fact. The seventh and final trumpet, laid out in Revelation chapter 11, verses 15-19, states, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord, and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders, which sat before God on their seats, fell upon their faces, and worshipped God, saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art, and was, and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power, and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged. And that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings, and voices, and thunderings, and an earthquake, and great hail, indicating the voice of God that was sounding. In total contrast to the seven trumpets, we have also placed on our chart the seven vials of God's wrath, which are recorded in Revelation chapter 16, in the second half of the 70th week. We have placed them in the last 3.5 years, because that is precisely where they belong, for that is where they are activated, because verses 1-2 tells us in clear, categorical, and unquestionable terms. "And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, Go your ways, and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth, the whole earth. And the first went, and poured out his vial upon the earth, and the fell annoyed him in grievous sore upon the men which have the mark of the beast, and upon them which worship his image, showing undoubtedly that we do not have the application of fulfillment of the seven vials until the 666 mark of the beast and the forced worship of the image of the beast have been effected, which take place strictly in the great tribulation period, which is the last 3.5 years of the 70th week of Daniel. Therefore, all the vials of God's wrath have a global effect or a global application, and will be poured out one after the other, from the time that the mark of the beast and the worship of his image have been enforced. In other words, the vials cannot be applied, and will not be applied, until the mark of the beast and his image have first gone into operation, leaving the earth people who have taken the mark, and who are worshipping the image of the beast, which is the World Council of Churches. And just like the seventh trumpet, the seventh vial also applies strictly on the day of the Lord, even as verses 17 to 21 records. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven, from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were voices, and thunders, and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake, and so great. And the great city of Jerusalem was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great, because it is the day of the Lord, the great day of God's wrath, totally overturning and ending the evil reign on and over planet earth. Full stop. So, brothers and sisters, although the trumpets start at the beginning of the first 3.5 years, they do not all apply at the same time, although all are tied to the last week of Daniel, with the seventh taking place once that week of time ends, being judgment trumpets. The vials come as the climax of the judgments of God in the last 3.5 years, closing out the 70th week, which is the great tribulation era of precisely 42 months, with the seventh vial taking place immediately the week comes to a close. This now brings us to the consideration of the great tribulation itself, which is actually the last phase of the great tribulation, and for this, we will turn back to Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, which reads, "And he, the Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, breaking his covenant or treaty with the nation of Israel, right there in the middle of the last week, ushering in the great tribulation, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and the determined shall be poured upon the desolate." Since, we will reserve the breakdown of the balance of the prophetic picture conveyed in this verse of Scripture for later. However, from this same passage of Scripture, we can clearly see that the Pope of that hour, the Antichrist, having given them a guarantee of peace and prosperity, in the middle of the 70th week, he will break his covenant with Israel, as Satan incarnates him, because Satan will be driven down to earth, as revealed in Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 to 12, where the Bible states, "And there was war in heaven, from around the opening of the 70th week of Daniel, Michael, the archangel, and his angels fought against the dragon, who is Lucifer, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not." That is, the dragon lost, for he was totally defeated by Michael. "Neither was their place found any more in heaven," meaning, they were cast down from the skies, the heavenly realm, from where they had always operated, thereby cleansing the heavens of his evil presence. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil, and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, at the middle of the week, to embed himself in the human society, when he now incarnates the Pope, the Antichrist, and his angels were cast out with him, into the earth, and his fallen angels now completely take humanity over. "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Watch this, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. This is now when he enters into the Antichrist, and the Antichrist then loses any sense, and every sense, of the knowledge of God, and of the worship of God, for he will no longer be calling on God, or acknowledging God, as he now becomes a proper devil, Satan incarnate. He will make himself God, demanding worship, instituting the 666 mark, and also enforcing the joining of the image of the beast, which, in prophetic language, is to worship his image. And once incarnated, the Antichrist then becomes the false prophet from the middle of the week, for he will now bear the testimony of his own worship. Since many prophetic events are set in motion right there at the middle of the week, that is when the image of the beast we have represented on our charts now begin to speak, just as Revelation chapter 13, verse 15, reveals, and he, the Antichrist, had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as will not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Verses 16 to 18 adds, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand, or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that hath the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And his number is 666. 666. This creates a cashless society, where people cannot buy or sell, except they take the mark of the beast. And in a cashless society, a cashless world, with the promise of the security of their money, and with the penalty of certain death staring them right in the face, they will gladly take the mark of the beast and also join his image, the World Council of Churches, rather than have their churches closed down permanently and in addition be killed. That is why the 144,000 Jewish preachers, as revealed in Revelation chapter 14, verses 1 to 13, will be carrying the everlasting gospel message in that final satanic hour to encourage the elect seeds of God around the globe, the tribulation saints, made up of the Jewish saints, as well as the Gentile foolish virgins, to face martyrdom rather than to take the mark of the beast or to join his image. Brothers and sisters, many prophetic scriptures are pointing to this same period of time. And we can only take the one after the other. With Satan cast out of heaven, Revelation chapter 12, verses 13 to 17, concludes the picture, stating, and when the dragon saw that he was cast onto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, which is America, not Petra in Jordan, which is right there in the Middle East, an area which in the day becomes the base of the Antichrist, who will move from the Vatican to Jerusalem. Consequently, the prophetic woman runs to America, the United States, into a place where she is nourished for a time, 1 year, and times, 2 years, and half a time, 6 months, making a total of 3.5 years, of the second half of the 70th week of being kept from the face of the serpent, the Antichrist. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood of intense persecution and a decree of death after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away, killed, of the flood. And the earth, which is the United States, helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth, calling off the bluff of the Antichrist, warning him not to dare cross the Atlantic Ocean to come after her. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, who are the Jewish saints, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ, who are the Gentile foolish virgins. Brothers and sisters, with his European international military force, he leaves the Vatican City from where he has been ruling for the past 3.5 years, overruns Jerusalem, kills the 2 Jewish prophets, Moses and Elijah, takes over the temple, the 3rd temple that will be built today on the Temple Mount where the Dome of the Rock currently stands, desecrating the temple of God. He will make himself God, demand worship, and institute a bloodbath against the Jews, seeking to exterminate them. Do not forget what Apostle Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3-4. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that as God sitteth in the temple of God, shewing himself that he is God. Now this is fulfilled, right there in the middle of the week. He takes over both apostate Christendom, as well as Judaism, and nobody will be able to challenge him, for it is the Lord Jesus that will take care of him, at his physical return on the day of the Lord. Hence, Revelation chapter 13, verses 3-8, states, And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, one of the heads of the Roman base empire that was wounded seemingly unto death, which particular head gives us nothing but the papacy, the papal head, the little horn of Daniel 7 verse 8. Church, the truth about this wounded head is a truth the Lord has helped us to lay out clearly and perfectly in our message in the Scribe magazine, titled, The Seven Mountains of Revelation 17. May I warn you that there is a very carnal and ridiculous teaching that is being peddled around the world today concerning this wounded head. We already know of the carnal teaching, which states that pagan Rome was the head that was wounded, and that with its wounding, it transformed, changed, to become papal Rome, which is a gross untruth. Now, another erroneous teaching is making its rounds in the earth, and this false teaching makes the wounding a future event, and that the wounded head will be that of the coming Antichrist, who will be killed, and that he will then miraculously resurrect to become the false prophet, which is load of rubbish. May I reiterate or repeat that the wounded head was that of the little horn of Daniel, which is nothing but the papacy, the mystical or ecclesiastical head of the Roman base empire, who ruled over the Roman base empire in the Dark Ages. This leadership of the papacy was wounded by the sword of the Spirit which the reformers wielded, and which they used against the Roman pontiff way back in the 1500s, whose authority and power has now been restored at this same time. A restoration which will eventually enable the Pope to retake his leadership position over the European Union, which is the end-time restored geographical entity of the Roman base empire. That is precisely why the next clause in verse 3 of Revelation 13 plainly declares, And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast, man, the Pope, the coming Antichrist. And they worshipped the dragon, Lucifer, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, just as Daniel 7 verses 24-25 records. And power was given unto him to continue from the position he left off in the Dark Ages, following the outbreak of the Reformation, when his head was wounded, as he now resumes rulership over the European Union, 42 months, precisely 3.5 years, of the last half of the 70th week, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them, in the horrible satanic hour, and power was given him over all kindreds, and tongues, and nations, in the prophetic world, and all that dwell upon the earth, the prophetic earth, shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He becomes an absolute ruler, a total and unrestrainable despot, just like Joseph Stalin of Russia, and no one can question or challenge him, because of his military power and his utter viciousness, his totalitarian attitude. Worse than that of Antiochus Epiphanes, the Syrian prince, a prototype of the Antichrist, and worse than that of Adolf Hitler of Germany, a monster, who are all alike in their hatred of the Jews. Adolf Hitler wanted to be remembered as a man who eliminated the Jews from the face of the earth, and he failed woefully in that evil venture, despite the 6 million Jews he slaughtered during the Holocaust years of 1939 to 1945, using his Gestapo Nazi soldiers. It is exactly what the coming Antichrist will seek to achieve. Saints of God, is it not interesting to see that today, democracy no longer holds? You must know that democracy is dead, as despotic, dictatorial, authoritarian rulers are now rising up, taking over the affairs of powerful nations of the world, overturning all institutions of democracy and freedom of speech. Brothers and sisters, you have to see that the political ground has been laid for the Antichrist, the papacy, to resume his autocratic and tyrannical rule once again, as the political landscape in the Western world has changed in favor of a despotic type of leadership, one which will also bear, just as Daniel 7 verse 20 states, "Even of that horn, that little horn, that had eyes, and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows." Who are the other kings? The 10 kings of the Roman beast, the European Union. This verse shows us just how autocratic and extremely mean his rule will be in that day. My oh my, what an hour that will be. Come with me to see what Daniel the prophet laid out concerning this issue, for we want to see his killing machine in Daniel chapter 11, beginning from verse 36. "And the king of the Roman base empire, the king of the European superstates, the Antichrist, shall do according to his will, that is, as a totalitarian ruler, an absolute king, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished in the last 3.5 years of the 70th week of Daniel, for that is determined shall be done. The prophetic word of God will be fulfilled to the letter." Now listen to verse 37. "Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, the Almighty God which other popes pray to and acknowledged, nor the desire of women, for he will have no time for women, nor regard any god. Why? For he shall magnify himself above all, but in his estate, or domain, in his empire, his government, shall he honor the God of forces, the God of military power, knowing exactly what he can do with a good and well-equipped, formidable, high-tech military machine, a military strike force, and a god whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold, and silver, and with precious stones, and pleasant things, investing huge sums of money in the military. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange god, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land of Israel for gain." Verses 40 to 45 adds, "And at the time of the end shall the king of the south, Egypt, push at him, and the king of the north, Turkey, shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots, and with horsemen, and with many ships, and he shall enter into the countries, and shall overflow and pass over. The Antichrist will discipline them. He shall enter also into the glorious land of Israel, and many countries shall be overthrown by him, but these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom, and Moab, and the chief of the children of Ammon, which gives us the area making up modern-day Jordan. He shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape, but he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt, and the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps, for they will bow to him." Now note, "But tidings out of the east," which gives us the news that he will hear, through his intelligence agencies, that the kings of the east, led by communist China, are coming to slug it out with him, and this gives us the battle of Armageddon in the making. "And out of the north," tidings also out of the north, which cannot be anything but Russia, is what shall trouble him, and not Turkey, because Turkey would have already been tamed according to verse 40. Neither is it the European Union, which the Antichrist heads in that day, knowing also that from the middle of that week, he will throw off worshipping God, making himself God, demanding worship, taking over the temple of God in Jerusalem. which then becomes his seat of authority and power, according to verse 45. And hence, he will care less for the destruction of the Roman Catholic Church system by the European Union, as recorded in Revelation 17, verse 16, thus letting us clearly see that the news of the intended destruction of the Vatican is not what will trouble him. Consequently, brothers and sisters, the tidings out of the north, which cannot be anything but Russia, is what shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy, and utterly to make away many. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain, right in the temple of God in Jerusalem, permanently vacating the Vatican City in Rome. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. It is Christ the King who will deal with him. For Jesus Christ is the prophetic stone that was cut out without hands, who smashed the 10 toes of the Roman base empire, which gives us the European Union at this end time, right around the day of the Lord, at the end of the 70th week, as laid out in the image dream of Nebuchadnezzar, recorded in Daniel chapter 2, verse 34. Please do not forget that all this is happening from the middle of the last week. Brothers and sisters, before we see the battle of Armageddon, please first come with me to consider the inspired record of Daniel chapter 12, concerning this tribulation period, where the Spirit of the Lord reveals from verse 1, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, Israel. Why will Michael stand up? It is because of the evil plan which the Antichrist has against the children of Israel, projected from Daniel chapter 11, which we just saw in verse 45, where it states, and he, the Antichrist, shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain, forcefully taking over the temple of God in Jerusalem, sitting in it as his palace, making himself God, demanding worship, an abomination for that matter, and a total desecration, and setting in motion a bloodbath against the children of Israel, a fierce persecution. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. In Daniel chapter 12, the account of this evil event is now continued, and it declares about this satanic hour from verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, beginning from the very opening of that week, when developments in the earth will be brewing for Satan's last strike. However, from the next clause, time has now rolled to the middle of the week, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation even to the same time, giving us what prophet Jeremiah prophetically called the time of Jacob's trouble. And at that time that people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, both at the very opening of that last week, which is the resurrection of the bright saints, as well as at the closing of that week, which gives us the resurrection of the tribulation saints, some to everlasting life, in their order of the first resurrection, and some to shame and everlasting contempt, in the second resurrection, which is before the white throne judgment, and which is a resurrection unto damnation. Verse 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Now pay attention as we skip to verses 6 to 7. And one angel said to the man clothed in linen, who is also an angel, the angel of time, which was upon the waters of the river Jordan, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? In other words, how long will this great tribulation of the Jews take? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him, God, that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, 1 year, times, 2 years, and an half, 6 months, making a total of 3.5 years, of the second half of the 70th week, and when he, the Antichrist, shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, which simply means to nullify the right, it is to deny them any right or authority whatsoever to the promised land. It is to take away their right to the land, issuing a bloodbath against them. All these things shall be finished. This horrible period of time was also spoken of by prophet Jeremiah, a passage we saw in the first part of this message, recorded in Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 5 to 7. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now, and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. Alas, for the day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. The fact that this prophecy declares that Israel shall be saved out of it shows that unlike what happened to the nation of Israel in 70 AD, when they were not only decimated, devastated, but they were also scattered to the nations of the world, ceasing to be a nation. However, in the last week of Daniel, God will intervene, and that nation will not cease. But what an hour it is, nonetheless. Remember Jeremiah said, alas, for the day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. Brothers and sisters, this dovetails with the account of Matthew in chapter 24, from verse 15, which records, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Now see verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. In other words, and as prophet Jeremiah also prophesied, for the day is great, so that none is like it, being incomparable in the evil that will be perpetrated by the Antichrist, for it is the climax of Satan's onslaught. Hence, verse 22 adds, and except those days should be shortened, meaning limited, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened, or limited, and it is limited to precisely 3.5 years. You will now appreciate why Daniel chapter 12 ends the way it does, for it states in verses 11 to 12, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that make earth desolate set up, when the Antichrist takes over the temple of God, sits in it, proclaims himself God, demands worship, and unleashes his excessive hatred and persecution of the Jews, for he will seek to exterminate them from the face of the earth. Since these events take place right in the middle of the 70th week, because that is precisely when the daily animal sacrifice, which the Jews will be offering from the time they have access back to the temple ground, and raise up an altar to God, will be stopped. The Antichrist will institute a bloodbath against the children of Israel, the flood of intense persecution and a death decree, which he issues out of his mouth. Verse 11 concludes, there shall be 1290 days. Please note that these 1290 days gives an extra 30 days. Over the last 3.5 years of 1260 days. Verse 12 states, blessed is he that waiteth, and cometh to the 1305 in 30 days. Since, with this 1335 days, the Lord has added yet another 45 days, making a total of 75 extra days, over the last 3.5 years of 1260 days, of the Great Tribulation period. That is precisely why in the book of Revelation chapter 12, verse 12, the Lord warns, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. Why? For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Verses 13 to 17 adds, and when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman, the nation of Israel, which brought forth the man-child, and to the woman, the spiritual but mortal element of that nation, were given to wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into a place where she is nourished for a time, 1 year, and times, 2 years, and half a time, 6 months, making a total of exactly 3.5 years, of the second half of the 70th week, that the woman will be kept from the face of the serpent, the Antichrist, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water of intense persecution, decrees of annihilation, as the flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away, exterminated, of the flood, and the earth, which is prophetic of America, help the woman, and the earth opened her mouth, and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth, calling off the blood for the Antichrist, warning him not to dare come after the Jews in America. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, who are the Jewish saints, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ, who are the Gentile foolish virgins, what and are. That is why the prophecy of Daniel in chapter 12 ends the thought in verse 12, declaring, "Blessed is he that waiteth, and cometh to the 1,305 in 30 days. What a survivor a person is in that day, to survive the great satanic onslaught. Do not forget the prophecy of Isaiah in chapter 13, concerning the awesome effects of the day of the Lord, right at the close of the 70th week, when humanity will be wiped out, as laid out in verse 12, where the Spirit of God declared, "I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir." For that is just how rare, how extremely scarce, humanity will be on the day. May I warn you, therefore, just as Brother Jackson also warned, knowing just how terrible the second half of the 70th week will be, and also knowing that it is precisely for 42 months, exactly 1,260 days of the entire tribulation period, that it is totally impossible for the nation of Israel to have only 3.5 years of prophetic time left out of the 70 weeks of Daniel, but a 1 week period of 7 full years. This is absolutely so, in order to also allow for the revival that the children of Israel will have under the ministries of Moses and Elijah, a revival that has been designated a full 3.5 years of prophetic time, precisely 1,260 days, on the authority of Revelation 11 verse 3. Common sense will tell you, therefore, although sense is now a very rare commodity, but common sense will tell that the nation of Israel cannot have a revival of 3.5 years, when the Messiah whom they crucified at the end of the 69th week is being revealed to them, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity. And at the same time, be running for her life from the face of the Antichrist, for exactly the same 42 months, which is 3.5 years. It just does not make any sense. For not only do you need to see the great tribulation period of 3.5 years, you must also see the revival period of precisely 3.5 years, instituted while the world is enjoying false peace and prosperity, which gives the nation of Israel 7 full years of prophetic time, which is the last week. And right in the middle of this week, the Antichrist will now break his covenant with Israel, as Daniel 9 verse 27 plainly stipulates, a prophecy we will now break down. Verse 27 states, "And he," the Antichrist, "shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week, then he shall cause the sacrifice that the children of Israel offer daily on the temple ground in Jerusalem, and the oblation, which is the incense that is offered daily in the evening, signifying the prayers of the children of Israel at the end of each day, which is ascending to God, to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations," speaking concerning the total hatred which the Antichrist shall display towards the children of Israel, by which will spare no means of total annihilation or wiping out of the Jews. "He shall make it desolate, even until the consummation," that is, until the completeness of all that has been prophesied that he will do, "and the determined shall be poured upon the desolate children of Israel." Brothers and sisters, this proves that indeed Israel has 1 week of 7 full years left, and not 3.5 years, as a Branham movement, and as a Seventh-day Adventist church organization, erroneously teach. She has precisely 1,260 days of revival, the first half of the week, when the false peace and prosperity is also going on, and 1,260 days of the Great Tribulation, the last half of the week, when she is now running for her life from the face of the Antichrist. Full stop. Brothers and sisters, do not forget that we are considering the 70 weeks of Daniel, and we are trying to lay out the details of the 70th week, the final week of prophetic time, which has a lot in it, for loads and loads of prophecies of the Holy Bible point to the Tevilah. Before we come back to consider the extra 75 days, we first want to consider three of the prophetic issues, which are slated in for the last 3.5 years, all issues which have also been laid out on our chart, all tied up to the tribulation period. Please come with me to Revelation chapter 9, and we will begin from verses 1 to 6. And the fifth angel sounded, the fifth trumpet judgment angel sounded, and I saw a star, an angel, fall from heaven unto the earth. He came down to earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit, which is hell. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion, when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. You can read the rest of that passage, but it lets us know that God will open up hell, also around the middle of the week, to entertain ungodly humanity. He will release those fallen angels, demons that have been bound in hell, because of what they did, their most dastardly, most wicked, and extremely evil ways that they carried on with back then, during the prehistoric era. The opening up of hell is what we have portrayed on our chart, at the bottom right-hand corner. They are nothing but first-class tormentors, and have a whole 5-month period commissioned for tormenting. My Jesus Christ revealed that in that day, men will desire to die, on account of the great torment, the serious pain and anguish, with emotional and psychological distress that they will feel. But it will elude them, because they are meant to suffer, and not die. They will seek to commit suicide rather than bear the intense pain, agony, and misery, but they will not be able to carry through, because God will not allow them to. My brothers and sisters, it pays to serve Jesus, for his service yields eternal dividends. What a party time they will have with demons in those days, and I say that because the humanity we have today is nothing but a fun-seeking, pleasure-loving generation who only want to live for the flesh and enjoy the good things of life and do what they want, when they want to, having no thought or care for God, who is their maker. Since they have no time or love for God, he also gives them all of Satan and asks all the demons bound in hell to come on board as an entertainment for ungodly humanity. You can only imagine the horror of the time, for it will eclipse the evil and wickedness we see all around us today. Now look at what follows the opening up of hell, and it is a prophetic event that we have also portrayed on our chart, which is the Battle of Armageddon, recorded in verses 13 to 21, and the sixth trumpet judgment. Angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound, stationed in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, and a day, and a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of men who are on this planet, which presently stands at over 7.6 billion in population, as of this month of June 2018, according to most recent United Nations estimates by Worldometers, and as also confirmed by Wikipedia. Now think of the population of the world in the last week of Daniel, knowing that a whopping one-third of the world's total population is built for slaughter, fodder for burning, and that is over 2.5 billion. Just think about it, for that is simply mind-boggling. Now listen to the number of soldiers needed for this battle in verse 16. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, and I heard the number of them, That gives us exactly 200 million soldiers ordained for the war of Armageddon, and China alone can supply that sum. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth, and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. And out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone, for we are looking at those deadly fighter jets, having all sorts of bombs, missiles, nuclear and biological warheads that are attached to them, both in front as well as in their tail, all of which can be released by the fighter pilot at the touch of a button, all computerized, all laser-guided arsenals. The magnitude of death that they will cause on the earth is reaffirmed in verse 18. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire, and by the smoke, and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth, and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents, and had heads, and with them they do hurt, bringing extremely painful death. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils, and idols of gold, and silver, and brass, and stone, and of wood, which neither can see, nor hear, nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Because they are just earthbound, carnal-minded, materialistic, pleasure-loving, God-hating elements of humanity, serpent seeds. Period. Daniel chapter 11, verse 44, a passage we saw earlier, ties in with this event, because the tidings out of the east relate strictly to this battle of Armageddon, which will be fought in the land of Israel, right there in the valley of Megiddo, from which the battle derived its name. It is in Revelation chapter 16, under the sixth vial, that we are given the precise location of this battle, where verses 12 to 16 records. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates. And the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared, which gives us China, Japan, Korea, Thailand, Vietnam, and the rest of them, all who come under the communist ideology led by China, as they come to slug it out against the West, who are also led by the Pope of Rome, the Antichrist, the false prophet. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, Lucifer, and out of the mouth of the beast, the European Union, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, the Antichrist. For they are the spirits of devils, walking miracles, scientific military miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon, Megiddo Valley. This is the third world war, and it is the final conflict between man and man. The third and final prophetic issue we also want to touch on, before we wrap up with the consideration of the 75 extra days, is the judgment of the great whore, who is riding on the back of the ten-horned Roman beast. This event is also portrayed on our charts, at the extreme top right-hand corner, and the account of it can be found in the book of Revelation chapter 17, verses 1 to 3, and then in verse 16. It is written, and the ten horns, the ten industrialized nations of Western Europe, which thou sawest upon the beast, the Roman base empire, which gives us the European Union at this same time, this shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and give their kingdom unto the beast, man, thus allowing the Pope to rule over them, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Afterwards, they will deal severely with the great harlot, raising her to dust, which is why we have a missile with the name of the Vatican on it, right there on our chart, towards the end of that week. They are going to push her off their back and burn her to ashes. Please do not forget that in that day, the Antichrist has now become the false prophet, bearing his own message, and as such, he has no need for God. And neither does he care for the Roman Catholic Church at this time, which has served his evil purpose. Consequently, Seeing just how evil the Roman Catholic Church system is, the 10 kings of Europe will burn down the Vatican City. Do not forget that in that day, the Antichrist, who is the man of sin, would have already placed his palace in the temple of God in Jerusalem, right from the middle of that week, no longer worshipping God, having made himself God, and no longer needing the Vatican City. Revelation chapter 18 gives us a vivid account of this judgment, and it will most certainly come. Because great and mighty is the God that judges her, she will be judged, right towards the ending of that week, just as the Holy Bible declares. May I add that the Babylon that is revealed in prophecy in Revelation chapter 17 and 18 is not the USA, and cannot by any stretch of the imagination be the USA, but it is the Roman Catholic Church, whose headquarters is in the Vatican City, which is the base of the papacy, the headquarters of the Catholic Church organization. Period. Church, we will turn our attention to the very last prophetic issue we need to break down, and we will close this message on the 70 weeks of Daniel with it. May God bless you all. Come back with me to the book of Daniel chapter 12, verses 11 to 12. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, right at the middle of the 70th week, there shall be 1,290 days. This adds an extra 30 days on top of the 3.5 years, of exactly 1,260 days, a period which is prophetically referred to in verse 7 as a time, times, and an half. Now, since 30 days have been added to it, making it 1,290 days. Verse 12 concludes, "Blessed is he that waiteth, and cometh to the 1,305 days. Another 45 days have been added on top of the extra 30 days, giving us a total of 75 extra days, over the 70th week of Daniel. The material question now is this, what is the essence of the extra days? Why are they being given? Are the days that we can also apply to the nation of Israel? These are the main issues. Brothers and sisters, we thank God for the light of truth we have received on this issue through the chief apostle. Please note that the 75 extra days have nothing to do with the Jews, in that they are not extra days designed for them to utilize, like the 70 weeks allotted to them, because these extra days are not for them. They will not spend one literal day above the 70 weeks of prophetic time allotted to them. However, once the 70 weeks expire, by the full expiration of the 70th week, which is the Great Tribulation period, extra time is needed to institute the day of the Lord, when God literally overthrows ungodly mankind and wipes them out of this planet without it eating into the millennial period. When the day of the Lord comes, it takes us to Revelation chapter 19. Where we see the descent of the heavenly armies, led by Jesus Christ, the King of the whole earth. And from verse 11, the Bible states, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written, that no man knew, but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, on the day of the Lord." We have a message in the Scribe magazine, which lays out the truth about the winepress, and it is titled, "Revisiting Armageddon, Part 2, The Winepress." Revelation 19 continues in verse 16, stating, "And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings, and Lord of Lords." Brothers and sisters, you can read the rest of this chapter for the full account of that battle on the day of the Lord. May I point out that this is the final battle where guns will be fired on this planet, and it is a war strictly between God and man. Hence, Revelation chapter 17, speaking specifically about the 10 horns of Europe, the European Union, also tells us in verse 14, "This shall make war with the Lamb, the coming King, on the day of the Lord, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen, elected and faithful. Amen. May God help us to be faithful, because faithfulness to God yields eternal rewards for on that glorious day, as we also come on white horses with our new names. We are coming to rule and reign for a solid and unbroken 1,000 years. Think about it. Consequently, the extra 75 days are needed for five main reasons. Firstly, it is needed for the day of the Lord, a day of unimaginable destruction, to wipe out ungodly mankind, and to overturn all their evil works, tearing down their evil presence on this planet. Secondly, it is needed to institute the judgment of nations, found in Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 46, and Revelation 20, verses 1 to 4, to determine of the mortals left alive, those who will be allowed to pass into the millennium, as mortal subjects, who will be used to repopulate the human race, and over whom Christ and his wife will reign. Thirdly, the judgment seat of Christ will be constituted, its third and final sitting, in order to give rewards to the tribulation saints, resurrected at the judgment of nations, and used as witnesses against the good people of the nations, mortals, preserved through the day of the Lord. I believe these are the three main events or objectives for which the first extra 30 days have been given. Fourthly, there will be the need for the cleansing and rededication of the millennial temple, which the man of sin had desecrated for 3.5 years, using it as his palace. Fifthly, time is needed for getting the earth itself ready for the millennium to start, knowing that not one day will be deducted from the period of time we are to rule and reign, which is precisely 1,000 years of 360 days each. The United States of America is not yet 250 years old, since its independence on July the 4th, 1776, and yet, it has had 45 presidents, Donald Trump being the 45th president. In total contrast, we will rule and reign with Christ for a whole 1,000 years, the promised reward for those who live as overcomers. Think about it. The two latter objectives are the reason for the extra 45 days, on top of the extra 30 days, giving us a total of 75 extra days. They are for the accomplishing of the five objectives we have just laid out above: the day of the Lord, the judgment of nations, the judgment seat of Christ, to give rewards to the tribulation saints, who would have just been resurrected at the judgment of nations, the cleansing and rededication of the temple, and finally, getting the earth ready for the millennium proper. That is why we represented the extra 75 days period with red and black stripes at the very end of our chart, preceding the millennium. Brothers and sisters, all these details give us the full scope of things that are ordained to take place in the last week of Daniel, the 70th week, having first given you a breakdown of the first 69 weeks. There is the 70 weeks of Daniel before you. No, we did not touch on the three woes of Revelation 8 verse 13, but those are details that the seven trumpets told. It is enough to itemize, and also give you, a gist of the prophetic events lined up for the 70th week. Because, as I said previously, each topic is a message on its own, and as such, we can only give you a gist of them in presenting a message on the 70 weeks of Daniel, a message designed to show you the layout and the application of the 70 weeks. I believe that by the grace of God, we have been able to do just that, so we know exactly what the 70th week holds, as well as the preceding 69 weeks, which together gives us the 70 weeks of Daniel. Saints, I hope this message is plain enough for all the children of God to absorb and to understand for our spiritual edification, as we must know what lies ahead, that our faith may truly be one, based exclusively upon the revelation of the Holy Scriptures, which is the Word of God. The Lord bless you.